If it were not for ignorance, there would be nothing between the ears of liberal Democrats in America. The goofy lineup of candidates for the Democratic nomination to run against Donald Trump in 2020 proves what accomplished liars and frauds they really are. Every time there is about to be another Democrat scandal unveiled, they float an unproven lie out to change the focus of the media, especially the New York Times, and they join in the diversion with the Democrats. This time, it's another unfounded shot at Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. A friend, an attorney for both Bill and Hillary Clinton, who was a classmate of Kavanaugh's, wrote a book in which he claims that way back in college, he attended a party where alcohol was present and that Kavanaugh exposed himself. He says someone pushed a woman's hand onto the exposed area. The New York Times ran with that unproven story, only to have to come back and say, wait a minute, the woman says she doesn't know anything about that. They've now been forced to point that out. It was another non-story, but that did not keep the candidates for the Democratic nomination from calling for the impeachment of Kavanaugh. In fairness, it should be reported that Joe Biden did urge caution and called for facts before going off half-cocked. Who among us wants one of the other Democrats in the Oval Office, who have shown that they would go to extremes without any evidence, to be our president? Then we come to another monstrous lie that Democrats have been telling us for years. They have assured us, time and time again, that they have no intention of taking away our guns. Yet, in this debate, Beto O'Rourke got a thunderous ovation when he revealed the Democrat lie. Beto said, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15 away. Emboldened by the screams of approval from the liberal Democrats in the audience, Beto went on to name other guns they would take from us. But wait, you say. That was just Beto admitting the previous Democrat lies. Not so. Not one of the other Democrats on that stage denied that Democrats would ignore the Second Amendment or not take our guns away. They all agree. Beto was just dumb enough to reveal the lies out loud. Here's what our first president, George Washington, said about the Second Amendment. Quote, a free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. Unquote. I no longer hunt. I have my guns to protect me, my family, and any other persons who need my protection, regardless of race, creed, or color. The AR-15 that I have is there to protect all of us from foreign enemies, terrorists, or a rogue government that will stop at nothing after they've taken the guns away. Any attempt by the government to subvert our Second Amendment right for law-abiding Americans to keep and bear arms for protection would be met by an all-out war. Government has proven that it cannot take away the guns of criminals on our streets and in our neighborhoods. That means that we are left to defend ourselves against thugs who do not obey gun laws. If laws are the answer, there would be no gun violence in silly gun-free zones that Democrats have set up. Liberal Democrats tell us that we have the police to protect us because they are trained. But the police are not the only one with guns. Our cities are full of criminals who use guns to rape, rob, and kill. God bless our police, but there is no way they can respond timely to all of the crime in all of the neighborhoods. It takes a criminal just seconds to kill you. Police arrive, if we're lucky, and in their caseload is not too high, 10 minutes or more after they've been alerted. That's why we need the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Thanks to an impetuous Beto O'Rourke, we now have evidence that Democrats have been lying to us all along. Hell yes, they'll take your guns, if you're dumb enough to elect them. As for the elimination of fossil-fueled vehicles, that electric car that Democrats want to force you into will short out when you try to drive it overseas. Since plane travel would be banned, how else are you going to get there? Liberal Democrats suffer from an acute lack of common sense. In the beginning, when the Lord called for a lineup of people to get smarts, Democrats thought he said farts, and they declined to have any. To this day, they struggle with that affliction. A few friends who have known me for a long time and who believe that I might have a sense of humor have questioned why I don't include more of that humor in my commentaries. The answer is that I do try to work humor in, but it is hard to find anything funny about socialism and today's Democrat Party. I see the opportunity for humor in the ridiculous agendas they propose, but in today's politically correct culture, ridiculing these swamp rats brings on calls of racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, xenophobia, and any other phobia they can create from thin air. I know my own character better than anyone else, and so I can weather those calls. But we all have to be careful not to be marginalized by false claims from false personas. But I will inject humor to lighten up my commentaries at every opportunity. Just remember that Ilhan Omar, if she's taking off her headdress to romp in the hay with her aide, a white man, that's an affront to Allah and an invitation for one of his radical followers to leave her head in the next room. And if Elizabeth Warren has been forced to put her war bonnet in the closet after being found to have less Indian blood in her than vaping has in medicinal purposes, it takes a list of humor to cope. I'll try to remember that the next time Joe Biden forgets his name or imagines himself at Little Bighorn pinning a medal on General Custer. Democrats and their fake news allies in the mainstream media told us that the 9th District congressional race between Democrat Dan McCready and Republican Dan Bishop would be a litmus test on Donald Trump. They constantly floated the idea that a Bishop loss would show that Trump would be in trouble in North Carolina in the 2020 election. Rather than shying away from the president, Dan Bishop invited Trump to come to Fayetteville and appeal to the voters in person. At that time, Bishop was trailing McCready by almost 20%, thanks in part to the media hype for McCready at the expense of Bishop. Dan McCready served his country well in the military and seems to be a decent man. But the voters were not fooled by his television ads proclaiming that he would reach across the aisle and deal with Republicans as well as Democrats. That obviously is not tolerated by Democrat leadership in Washington, and any attempt by McCready to reach across the aisle would result in him losing an arm. President Trump did not shy away from the conflict, and he responded with a rousing speech before a completely full auditorium in Fayetteville and many others waiting outside unable to gain a seat. On Tuesday, September 10, 9th District voters went to the polls to address the concerns about the president and Dan Bishop. While the race was close, as expected, Bishop won with 52% of the vote versus 49% for McCready. That was a large enough margin to prevent a runoff, and Dan Bishop is now the representative of the 9th District of North Carolina in Congress. That wasn't so much a repudiation of Dan McCready as it was a repudiation of the Democrat agenda. Their insane policies, unstable members, and fevered pursuit of the president has not been lost on American voters. It is not hard to see that Democrats have done nothing since the 2016 election except try to destroy this president. In doing so, they put the country's security at risk by calling for open borders where terrorists, drug dealers, and human traffickers could freely mix among decent people looking for a better life and slip undetected into our country, where they would be welcomed in ever-increasing numbers and sanctuary cities, where they can hide, plot, and carry out harm to this country. We recently saw the observance of the atrocious attacks of 9/11, where rabid Muslims who had been in America for years planning and plotting the murder of more than 3,000 innocent Americans, simply going about their work in the Twin Towers in New York, the Pentagon in Washington, and as passengers of a commercial airliner that was hijacked and destroyed in Pennsylvania. Anyone who does not think that there are other radicals already here plotting and scheming to wreak havoc upon us is not only naive, but blind. Inviting more of them in through an open border is a sign of insanity. So, how did Democrats and the mainstream media react when Dan Bishop was declared the winner in the 9th District race of North Carolina? They ran backwards, dizzily, like a constipated crawfish. Suddenly, it ceased to be a litmus test of Trump, but an expected victory in a district they say that leans red. Remember when Democrats and the mainstream media told us that FBI Director James Comey should be fired for releasing a statement about Hillary Clinton's violations of the law while the 2016 election was going on? Then, when Trump fired Comey, for many reasons, hysterical Democrat hypocrites turned on Trump for that like a buzzard on roadkill. A great example of Democrat hypocrisy came when President Trump replaced Ambassador John Bolton. For years, Democrats had railed about how off base and dangerous John Bolton was. When Trump appointed him to the cabinet, the Democrat leadership became unhinged. They had played to the press with complaints about how militant Bolton was and how dangerous he was, and yet when Trump replaced him, those same Democrats and media talking heads attacked Trump. How much more hypocrisy can Democrats and media flunkies expect the American people to take? That's a rhetorical question, of course, because it is apparent that Democrats don't deal in the real world, but reside in their own fantasy land where truth means nothing and the end always justifies the means. Unfortunately for Democrats, things aren't ending very well for them. If you believe in God, you recognize that all of humankind was created in His image. Given that belief, how can anyone rationalize that God would make one person superior to another based on the color of their skin? We are all His children, equal in His sight, and it is the content of our character that determines superiority, not skin color. In my research for this commentary, I give credit to the Southern Poverty Law Center, a far-left-leaning organization that I trust as much as I trust a rattlesnake that I had just picked up and thumped on the head. But in this instance, their findings have been verified by my own research, and I also credit James Merce of the Daily Caller. I truly believe that one of the greatest threats facing us today is a dishonest, left-biased, mainstream media. They act in unison to control what we think. Mika Brzezinski of the off-the-wall MSNBC morning show Morning Joe actually said that their role is to control what Americans think. That is meathead supremacy. We are currently being inundated with so-called news about white supremacy. While it is true that we have more white supremacists in America than is healthy, we have far, far less of them than the mainstream media admits. One too many is enough, but to lie about their impact is unconscionable. If your skin is white, ask yourself this. How many hours a day or days in a month do you spend focused on denigration of people with a different colored skin? My own answer? Not 1 hour, not 1 minute, not 1 second. I have been perfectly clear all of my adult life that I condemn any action or rhetoric against someone based on skin color. I do not believe that anyone is superior to another because of skin color. I do believe that any of us, regardless of color, can prove to be superior based on the content of our character. To listen to or read what the mainstream media espouses about white supremacists or white nationalism is to accept the lie that white supremacists are running amok in America, and there are no other supremacist groups in our country to concern us. The truth is that the misguided white supremacists among us, few as they are, have little power, and they are scorned by rational people. But we do not hear from the fake news media about other supremacist movements in America. Are there none in our country? Should they not all be called out? For instance, existing black nationalist groups have grown in size and new groups are forming. Group leaders have played on people's fears and distress to recruit new members. Much of that fear and distress has been created by the media to sell papers, gain ratings, and sell TV ads. They have created hysterica where none should exist. Self-appointed black leaders have become emboldened in their rhetoric, downplayed by the media. Hashim Nzinga of the new Black Panther Party called Hitler a great man. And Louis Farrakhan told followers at a conference, quote, "The government is my enemy. The powerful Jews are my enemy. And scared-to-death Negroes are my enemy. And weak Muslims and hypocrites are my enemy. But here I stand, unfazed by a government that wants my life," unquote. Farrakhan offered no proof that the government wanted his life, and he's silly to pretend that if government wanted his life, they'd take it, just as he did in the killing of Malcolm X. Farrakhan leveraged his attendance at Aretha Franklin's funeral to legitimize himself and recruit new members by putting her on the cover of his hate group's publication, The Final Call, and distributing 50,000 copies of that in Detroit. The new Black Panther Party hosted black men's conferences and rallied in front of the White House to denounce Trump and praise Farrakhan. There are plenty white liberals who love to denounce Trump, but it was a blacks-only event. If that is not racist, can you imagine the uproar if a white Panther Party hosted whites-only conferences? Apparently, the mainstream media doesn't think that a black men-only event is racist. They remain completely quiet as an empty graveyard to suppress any mention of that event. Black nationalist groups will likely continue to expand, coordinate, recruit, and unify against what they perceive as their common enemies, Jews, white people, and the police. The leading example of a black nationalist group is the Nation of Islam, led by Louis Farrakhan. This despot has never backed away from the group's fundamental tenets, espoused by the group's previous leader, Elijah Muhammad, that white people are inherently evil and that they are blue-eyed devils. Did you hear that? All white people are inherently evil and blue-eyed devils. Well, my eyes are brown, and I reject Farrakhan's hateful rhetoric designed to inflame blacks and Muslims against all white people. Why has the media not continued to point out the hypocrisy and threats of Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, as they do with white nationalists? Farrakhan has described Catholics and Jews, who he said practice a gutter religion, as preying on blacks. During an address in Chicago on February 25, 2018, Farrakhan declared that, quote, the Jews were responsible for all of this filth and degenerate behavior that Hollywood is pointing out, turning men into women and women into men. Where is the LGBTQ outrage? Unquote. In addition, he said, white folks are going down. If you have white children, Louis Farrakhan just issued a threat against them. And don't take him lightly. Malcolm X did. And he was gunned down in mid-sermon in the light of day. Ask yourself why you don't hear as much criticism of Sharpton and Farrakhan from the left and from the fake news media as you hear about David Duke. One espouses racism from the white perspective, and the others from the black perspective. Only one gets the full media and far-left condemnation. If a white group espoused similar beliefs regarding black Americans and Jews, few would have any trouble describing it as racist, anti-Semitic, and dangerous. While we expose white hate groups and white supremacists, and we should, we cannot be in the business of explaining away or covering up the black ones. On the ABC show To Tell the Truth, the host Anthony Anderson cannot go an entire show without taking jabs at white people. If a white man did that to blacks, there would be protests in the streets demanding he be fired. And why can't we be honest and talk about Muslim supremacy? Islamic terror attacks have become commonplace in Europe, and authorities across that continent did very little to prevent them. And as a result, Europe is on the ropes. It is clear that the Trump administration's tough approach to handling the threat of Islamic terror attacks is necessary. It is time that the left and the mainstream media call these terror attacks what they are: actions in support of an ideology that holds Islam and Sharia above all else. In other words, Muslim supremacy. The mainstream media is currently on a mission to paint anyone on the right as a white supremacist. Most recently, a lame comedian named Chelsea Handler went so far as to label Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, and actress Stacey Dash as black white supremacists. Only in Hollywood can someone be that stupid and survive. The left and the mainstream media celebrated Handler's disrespectful and downright bizarre label she cast on these people of color, who obviously have nothing to do with white supremacy at all. Yet those of us who are critical of Islamist culture come under attack from a leftist media. Why, then, is it acceptable to throw the white supremacist label around, but it is unacceptable to discuss issues related to Muslim supremacy and Islamic ideologies? Recently, disturbing evidence of Muslim supremacy in the United States came out of the Alton Nolan trial in Oklahoma. Nolan is a murderer and a Muslim. Nolan was facing the death penalty for the 2014 beheading of a female co-worker at Vaughn Foods after an argument over Nolan's hate of white people turned deadly. According to reports, Nolan felt oppressed as a Muslim, and when police asked if he regretted what he had done, he said, I don't feel regret because you know what I've done. That's probably going to make Vaughn Foods a better place to work for a Muslim. That is the mentality of Muslim supremacists. The 54-year-old victim, Colleen Hufford, was sentenced forever to death. Not only did she lose her life, but her First Amendment right of free speech was stolen from her by a Muslim supremacist. Killing this woman by beheading her is taught to Muslims in the Quran, the Islamic Bible. Followers are taught that Islam is a superior religion, and any non-believers should be killed. If that is not supremacy, what is it? Muslim supremacy is not acceptable and must be held to the same standard as white supremacy, black supremacy, and any other supremacy. You would not know that if you rely on a fake news mainstream media for your information. The media launches attacks on white supremacy daily in an unrelenting stream of propaganda. And why do we not have the same coverage of black supremacy, Muslim supremacy, or any other form of supremacy? Pamela Geller, the editor of the Geller Report, said this: supremacy is supremacy. Whatever group is striving for supremacy, the end result is always the same: a protected class with special privileges that others don't enjoy. This is quintessentially anti-American. I can't tell you the anger I felt when confronted by a black woman in Illinois who told me that she was in a protected class. This after my radio station manager caught her in activity detrimental to the company. She sought to hide behind her protected status. Some may struggle with the idea of comparing a racial issue to the issue of religious ideologies, but as Geller notes, supremacy is supremacy. And in a just United States, there is no difference between the forms of supremacy. We are all equal. It's important not to confuse calling out the existence of Muslim supremacy with putting down all Muslims. There are many Muslims around the globe that do not subscribe to radical Islamist ideologies. Unfortunately, the violent radicals among them strike fear into their hearts and they are afraid to speak out. But that does not diminish the threat Muslim supremacy and Islamic ideologies pose to us, especially in the UK and across Europe. Both have seen a massive influx of Islamic immigration, and the pace is quickening here in America. Pew Research found the Islamic population in Europe grew at 1 percentage point each decade and projects that by 2030, Muslims will make up 8% of Europe's total population. That mirrors data from the black population in the United States, where for decades, blacks were warned not to tell the police about criminals in their neighborhood. That paranoia has resulted in increased rates of crime, drive-by shootings, and drug traffic. Many of those black neighborhoods are now calling for help to reduce crime. But for too long, it was tolerated and is now an accepted reality in their neighborhoods. Supremacy is, in fact, supremacy, and we best not ignore it, regardless of where it comes from, whether it's white, black, Islamic, or any other form that calls itself superior to another. I thank you for listening today. I try to do the research to bring you things that you won't hear in the media so that you can just relax and take it all in. I appreciate your listening. I'll be back again next week, God willing. Same time, same station.